You bet, Jim. It's Paul McKellops, and I'm with the State Department's Public Affairs Go team out here in Bakuba, Iraq, which is in Diyala province.
Ah, okay. In Bakuba. All right. So you're that's to the east, right?
That's correct. Yeah, we're in the nasty zone.
You're in the nasty zone. Okay. Well, why don't we just start from the beginning? What are you doing there?
Well, I've been on a detail assignment with the State Department since July, and this assignment is very unique. I was asked by the brigade commander to come out to Diyala Province to help launch a radio and TV station. And what makes it unique is it's an independent radio and TV station. It's not run by the government. It's not run by a religious party. It's actually a group of both Sunni and Shia broadcasters who've been holed up in kind of an abandoned radio station for over a year, and they're getting ready to launch their programming.
Now, since it is, I guess you can say, bipartisan, what kind of programming would they do jointly here?
Well, one of the things that they're talking about is sectarian reconciliation, this whole civil war aspect of Shias and Sunnis battling against each other is something that's pretty foreign to Muslims in general. It's kind of a new threat that's been introduced by terrorists that are trying to divide them. And so they're getting on the air and talking about sectarian reconciliation, talking to the people and telling them that this is ridiculous. Don't be fooled by these people that are trying to divide us. So it's that kind of programming. They have news updates every hour on the hour, like you might see on an American station. And they have different programs encouraging young women to go to college, get degrees, get skills, get careers, and help bring this country back together.
Now, you had mentioned before we started rolling here that you're in the nasty zone. And I know you've reported good stories before. But when you say nasty, describe that.
Well, two things. One, the former, the ex, the late Jordanian al-Qaeda terrorist, Zarqawi, had established Bakuba as being the caliphate of the new revolutionary government. So he was calling insurgents and al-Qaeda to organize in this province and, in fact, in this area for the purpose of an insurgency against the free and democratic Iraqi government. So that was one thing that attracts folks out here. And then the second thing, as the surge has kicked off in Baghdad, as they pushed the bad guys out, they've come this way. So this has turned into a hotbed because you got a lot of the folks that were causing the problems in Baghdad that have moved here. And then Bakuba is strategically located in between Baghdad and the Iranian border. So we've got a lot of activity throughput coming down that highway.
Now, what kind of activity? One thing we don't, I think, always see or understand over here, is this terrorist insurgents against the U.S. or is it the Sunni Shia sectarian violence? What is going on there? Is it two different war fronts in a sense, battle fronts?
You know, I think you're absolutely right, Jim. It may be two or three or four. Last February, on the 22nd of February of 2006, the holy mosque called the Golden Dome Mosque of Samarra was blown up. It's a Shia mosque, and of course, since it was a Shia mosque that was blown up, the Shias concluded that it was the Sunnis that blew it up, and it may very well have been. We don't know for sure. But oftentimes, you'll see al-Qaeda make attacks on individual sects just for the purpose of pitting them against each other. You'll see Sunnis bomb one of their own targets, just to infuriate Sunnis against Shias, because Sunnis, of course, would never do this. Typically, we see that it's al-Qaeda and Sunni insurgents that are attacking American troops and the Shias that are retaliating against those two organizations.
Now, as I said in the past, that I know you've liked to report the good stories, the things that are being done, the things that are being rebuilt. Are you still seeing any of that? Is this the violence seems to be getting worse?
Well, the violence in Baghdad, I think, and I can't speak on behalf of the military, I think the violence in Baghdad is coming down, and I think in other parts of the country it is coming down. But where we're doing this radio and TV station happens to be right in the middle of the bad part, and that's why we're so powerfully optimistic about this, because as you can imagine, I'm sitting out here right now, it's almost sunset on Monday evening for us, and I look around in a full 360-degree circle, and I can see a couple of villages and some date palm trees, and I see smoke in the background from IEDs that have gone out in Baritz and in Bakuba, but I can look for literally miles and not see anything. And here's a radio tower right in front of me that stands 350 meters, which is in that category of 1,000 feet, and broadcasting good news to the people of Iraq, 18 hours a day on radio and TV. We're about to launch here in another couple of weeks. So I'm standing in the middle of probably what most people would consider the best good news story in the entire country.
And will that reach most of the country, the signal from radio and TV?
Jim, I got to tell you the story. We had transmitters that we just bought from a Spanish company last August that absolutely fried in the heat and the dust out here. And so I was working with the Iraqis about a month ago in the back warehouse where we came across one of their old transmitters when this was a radio station during Saddam's day. It was made by an Italian company out of Bologna, Italy, and found their little sticker on it and sent them, Googled them and sent them an email saying, hey, we can't get this thing to power up. How do you do it? And they literally said, well, on top of the rack, you've got diodes. Get out jumper cables and attach it to a 12-volt, and the thing may fire up. Well, we did that. It fired up, and now we're broadcasting. We are the largest coverage area in the entire country of Iraq. We're covering all the way down to Hilla in the south, all of Baghdad, out to Fallujah, which your listeners have probably heard was a nasty area before, up to the north and to Tikrit and Kut and out to the Iranian border. We are now have the largest footprint for a radio station in the country.
Besides the military buildup, I mean, is that what it's going to take to help combat at least the sectarian violence, things like what you're doing with that radio station and the joint message?
Again, speaking on my own behalf, I believe, and many people would agree, that what this is a battle for the hearts and minds of the people. Bullets can only do so much. I mean, you can kill some terrorists and then a whole batch more show up. What we're really doing is we're trying to reach the hearts and the minds of the regular Iraqi people, giving them hope, telling them that they've got to do their part to stop this, to support the new Iraqi army as it's standing up, to support the Iraqi police as they're being stood up. And if we can get into the hearts and minds, that's going to be great. And I got to tell you, these broadcasters here are doing it on their own. They're not just, you know, regurgitating American propaganda. They're passionately feeling the things that they're talking about. When they talk about reconciliation, when they talk about peace, they're grateful for the Americans for what they've done, for what the Dutch have done, for what the Georgians have done, for all the other coalition forces, and they're ready for the people of Iraq to now stand up and say, stop the violence, enough.
All right. A little background, Paul. You were born and raised in Neenah, Wisconsin, correct?
Yes, sir. You remember.
And what? Went through high school there?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Neenah, and my dad was an employee over at Kimberly-Clark Corporation for years, and I graduated from Neenah High School in 1977, so I just dated myself, but have fond memories of all my time there, and of course, Reggie White of the Green Bay Packers was my business partner for 8 years until his unexpected death in 2004, and I was the writer, director, and producer on the motion picture Reggie's Prayer with Reggie and Brett and Coach Holmgren when he was still with us, and Keith Jackson and a few others that I'm sure your listeners remember fondly.
Absolutely. And then you worked, I mean, obviously your background to be able to do what you're doing now with this radio and TV, you worked for Voice of America for some time, right?
Yes, sir. At Voice of America, I covered the Middle East and Africa, East Asia on that desk, and then also was a television correspondent covering Pentagon and State Department. And usually I'm on kind of your side of the equation where I'm reporting the news or bringing the reporters out to the news. And in this particular situation, because I had a little media background, so you can go out there and work with the Iraqis and try to create some programming for them and structure. Jim, before I got here, they would just go through the day and play some music, and at some time, if they like it, they do some news, and I said, well, let's go into programming blocks here and put some structure to this so that people can start to brand it and know that every hour on the hour they can tune in for a couple of minutes of news and get some weather, and of course, the people out here are pretty passionate about soccer, so we've even got that, and we've even got farm reports going on.
there you go. I think branding must be the universal language.
You got it.
Now, when you say they do news reports, I mean, do they have enough staff? I mean, where do they get the news from?
Well, when we first started, we had two employees, best friends, Ashia and Asuni. And once we were able to get a hold of some of the old broadcasters that used to work here before the violence erupted, we were able to persuade a 20-year-old Shia woman to come back, and she's just absolutely fantastic, really talking about women's rights and getting young girls to start looking towards college and careers. So right now we have a staff of five, and we've got a radio station that's on 14 hours a day, and the television station that we're launching, it's going to be UHF, so you got to have the antenna on top of the roof to pick up the signal, but we're hoping to maybe license some of the content to some of the satellite carriers out in the area. But getting other employees, there's no newspaper that functions out here. There's no telephone lines. Occasionally you get a cell signal, but one of the constants that always remains is the airwaves, the public airwaves, and that's how they're hoping to get their message to the people.
Okay, very good. Paul, thank you very much. It's fascinating. I could probably talk to you for a little longer, but appreciate your time.
Jim, it's good to talk to you again, man.
All right, take it easy and be in touch.
Take care.
Let us know how it's going. Give us updates.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye.